testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Having quite a few teachings on faith and how important it is. So it seems that as we are meeting this new year, if the Lord tarries, he wants us to be believing and trusting him and not doubting him. And he also wants his word to do that work in our lives. And so I have a title today for our teaching, The Gospel Reveals Faith. The Gospel Reveals Faith. And indeed, the Word of God, the Bible, is a faith book. And so God has to prepare our lives, our hearts, in order to be able to embrace it and believe it and act upon it. And I'm starting this teaching tonight from the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want to look primarily at verses 16 and 17. I'm sure you all know this very well. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he gives the reason why he's not ashamed. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the apostle clearly reveals why he's not ashamed of it. Because he's experienced what the Word of God has done and is doing in his life. And if we are changed by the Word of God, we know the power of the gospel, of that which we listen to, then we are not going to be ashamed of it. We are going to embrace it. We're going to love it. It is our spiritual food. And that is where he's coming from. But he also says further in verse 17 that for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the Word of God makes us right before God. And as a result of that, faith is revealed to us. And it's revealed to us because we live by faith. In other words, those who are justified by their faith live by that faith. And that is why Abraham, because of his faith, his obedience to faith, he was justified. So that is where the apostle is coming from. And we're calling our teaching today, "The Gospel Reveals Faith." Now, for us to believe, it has to be revealed. Now, that might sound logical, but how important it is that the Word of God is revealed to us in order for us to believe, to release our faith in that which we read, that which we hear. And that is why we know that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word. And we know that faith also has to be exercised daily. Now, we don't get up in the morning and decide, well, how do I exercise my faith today? What shall I do in which to demonstrate my faith? If that is how we're trying to live our walk of faith, then we're missing it. I have always said to you that faith, if it is faith, faith knows what to do. You shouldn't be trying to believe God. You shouldn't be trying to live, to breathe. That is, of course, if we're in good health. All of these things should come to us as natural as like breathing does. If we are truly born again, justified by this word. We may be challenged in the faith, but we're not trying to walk it. We're not trying to believe. That is the wonderful blessing of faith. That is why faith, as Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, it is a rest. In other words, it is a gift. It is a blessing to you. You're not trying to believe that God exists. You know that he does. He's revealing himself to you. He's showing his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. Sadly, religious people often are trying to believe. They're trying to get to God. All these other religions are all trying to get to God. The wonderful good news of the gospel is that God came down to man in the state that he was and provided and gave the greatest gift that's ever given to mankind. We know that God required Israel to mix faith with what she heard. But she was stiff-necked. She would not have it. And every time faith was presented, in a sense, their walk of faith, they always complained and moaned before God. Until, as we know, eventually God gave them up. They perished in the wilderness. We know this from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. "For indeed," it says, "the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So it was very, very sad under the old covenant, under the law, which was still faith to hear. It didn't do them any good. That's what God said. Because they were failing to see that we live it, we walk it. And they didn't want to. They still wanted to live in their old ways and in their carnal ways, their sin. But they wanted God. They wanted God on their side. He had brought them out of Egypt, out of Babylon. But they were not prepared to walk by faith. And that is why, of course, God took them into the wilderness. And because of their denial, their hardness of heart, it took them 40 years. Now, all of this we know is recorded in the Bible as a warning to us. So, faith has to be mixed with that which we hear. In other words, our actions. It's our responsibility to act accordingly to what is revealed. So as God reveals more of himself, his word, you see, I never separate. People say, oh, God's revealing himself, he's revealing his love. Indeed, he is, but he never does it opposite to his word. As he reveals the word to us, he's revealing himself to us. You can't separate, because Jesus was the word made flesh. So he's revealing himself. We know the nature of the word of God is revelation. And he illumines us in order to be able to understand, to interpret, to be able to act and walk that which is revealed to us. You see, the acts of faith are seen in this because we live by faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. Hebrews 2 verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So he bears witness to this. And he does this with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, or gifts of the found in the Holy Spirit. And of course, Paul speaks of that in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. He shows us that these gifts are there, set in the church. God revealing himself according to his own will. So he's setting, restoring these gifts back into the house of God to prepare us, to mature us, to bring us back to Christ under his headship, under the blood of the Lamb. And he sets these gifts into the church in order to do this. This is why we believe in these last days. We're in the times of restoration. We're being restored back into apostolic faith. Back to a faith that pleases God. And believing what he says. And not arguing and bickering over the word of God, which so much, sadly, of Christendom does. We hear so much what God isn't doing today. Let's start to believe what he is and what he will do in the house of God. Because he has said it there. We just read it in Hebrews 2:4. We also know, I'm just going to show you a little bit how your faith is active, because you might be feeling to yourself, well, I don't seem to be doing much with my faith. Well, I can show you what faith is doing and it has done. We're just going to look at a few things very quickly. We're told that we're sanctified by faith. Well, we see that in Acts 26, verse 18. He says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in me. So look what he says here in Acts 26:18. You are sanctified by faith, that is, in order for your eyes to be open, that you turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan that held your life to Almighty God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the power of God that's worked on your behalf for you to experience that. Isn't that wonderful? So we're separated, we're sanctified by faith. God is revealed by faith. We've already read this, haven't we? Back in Romans, because that's what we're looking at today, and I just want to reveal a bit to you what is meant by this. Back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, this word revealed is an interesting word. It actually means to uncover. It means to uncover that was veiled. Now, who veils the eyes of man? We know the God of this world does. He blinds their eyes. Your eyes, my eyes, were once blinded. And it says that God uncovers. It also means to make bare. So in other words, God has unveiled. He's laid it open. He's laid it bare for all to be seen. To put it in a graphic way, it's like you're exposed naked to the world. You've got no clothes on you. And the whole world sees you as you are. And you can't cover yourself. So there is that idea that he's laid bare. He's uncovered. So that there's everything you can know and learn about God and through his word. There is nothing covered for you and I, for our salvation. Isn't that amazing? We get an understanding of that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. Matthew 10 and verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. In other words, that's all where the end time and persecutions and everything. God, we know, will uncover and reveal everything. Everything will be exposed. Well, God has already done that. He's already done that for us. He's revealed. There's nothing that is held back that we should know in order that we can live and walk by faith. That is why I've called this title this evening, The Gospel Reveals Faith, or Our Faith That We Walk By. He also says, from faith to faith, back in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's not a faith that is changing. That is not what it means here. It means it's learning more. Because we know there's only one faith, one baptism, one Lord. So we have received that gift of faith. The same as we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of salvation, we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But in those gifts, we learn more and more and more and more. You never stop learning. And so that's what it means from faith to faith. In other words, we're pressing in by faith. But that the faith that we have isn't continually changing. Thank God it's not in that sense. It's all there for us to learn and being revealed to us. So that is what he means by that. We're looking at how the gospel reveals faith. That's what we're looking at this evening. We are counted righteous by faith. We're made right, in other words, for God's presence. We know that from Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he was made righteous. And it is God who declares us righteous. It doesn't matter what the powers of darkness are saying, or whatever it is, God declares it. And what God declares, what God says, is final, is finished, is done. And therefore you don't have to try and work at making yourself righteous. You are. You now, by faith, walk that righteous walk. That's what it means by this. What does it say also in verse 16? Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promises might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Abraham is our earthly father of faith after the flesh, because that is how he walked. So we are those of the faith. Not a faith, but the faith. There are many faiths that are around us today, but they are not faiths that make you right in the presence of God. Only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can make us right, a right standing in his presence. That's the power of the word of God, which we read to you earlier on. It is the power of the gospel. And we know that word, that Greek word power, is dunamis, dynamite power. It's explosive in nature. And that is why we preach this gospel. As we're told in Romans 10 verse 8. I'm just giving these out quickly, these verses. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So it's a part of you. It's possessed you. It's taken a hold of you. It's become your life. Isn't that wonderful what the word of God is and what it should do? But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of God has taken over your life. It's become a part of you. That is the word of faith which we preach. So it's the word of faith. And make sure it's the word of faith. Otherwise, it's not a part of you. It's a faith, but not the faith of God. We're also told, aren't we, that we stand by faith. Romans 11 and verse 20. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. In other words, he gives the parallel of Israel that was broken off. Out of the vine, in that sense, although they are the vine, but we're grafted into the vine, but they were broken off, and you stand by faith. And because you stand by faith, therefore don't be arrogant, don't be proud, but have a godly fear, in other words, because of the warning of Israel. She failed. She was the only nation under the old covenant that had revelation of Yahweh. No other nation had revelation of Almighty God like Israel had. So he says, don't you be haughty, but fear. So we walk by faith. We know this. We read this so many, many times, but we'll just say it again in passing in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So you do not walk by sight. In other words, you don't trust in your senses. You don't trust in your flesh, which so often we do. And this is why we get so confused. This is why we don't understand faith at times. Because we still want faith to operate and minister through the flesh. And it doesn't. This is why our whole walk doesn't make any sense. What God's doing through your life each day many times doesn't make any sense. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Every step we take is a walk of faith. We trust God. And yet we still want our sight, our feelings, our emotions, our flesh to govern us with regard to our faith. That's a lot of our deliverance, brothers and sisters. Now, how God does this in and through us, well, it's a miracle, isn't it? But he can, because he's already said the power of the gospel to change. And it's changing us, conforming us to his image. So with the flesh, we live by faith. We know one of the ways in which God works in order to get us to walk by faith, he introduces to our life the cross. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in the flesh, that cross that we take up daily and we follow the Lord, it's putting all the things of the flesh to death, that we may be freed to walk by faith, by the Spirit. That's the daily work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, that he's working. And this all comes by the gospel that's revealed to us by faith. And that's why we preach the crucified life. And that's why by faith he lives in us. We have received his fullness. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. It's not about me anymore. I have been purchased with a price. I am not my own anymore. I am his. And that's how we're to walk and believe. We walk now like Abraham. We are the sons of Abraham. What does Galatians 3 verse 7 say? Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. That's why we can confidently call ourselves also sons and daughters of Abraham. He's our earthly father after the flesh, in that sense. And so that's why by faith he lives in us, moves through us, walks through us, speaks through us, loves through us, endures through us, believes through us, heals people through us, casts out demons through us, gives us the words to speak. That is our life, our unity, our oneness with him, hid in him. As I decrease, he increases. That's the revelation of this walk and the deeper life. That is what it is. Well, we could go on with this. We know there's only one faith, one baptism, one Lord, as he shows us in Ephesians 4, verse 5. We're told also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, that our faith is to work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. So he says here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labour of love, your patience, your hope, your enduring, your staying with it. They're going through persecution. The apostle is praising God because their faith is being seen. When you go through a trial and a test and you stay with it until God's done that work, that is a sign of your faith, your labour of faith. It's a great sight before the Lord. We're told that without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. We're told that faith will save and heal the sick. I think we've lost sight of that one, haven't we, at times? James 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him or her up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I didn't write that, nor did you. That is from the Father's heart to us. That is why he wants to raise us up, that glorifies his name. And he's working these promises in our heart, in our lives, that they will be seen. This is why, brothers and sisters, God is doing this separation in our lives. He's warning us, he's telling us not to put our trust in this life, not to put our trust in any of all this technology that's developing at a rapid rate that we can't even keep up with. Why, I was looking at an article today that they're going to launch this year the new G5 phones. And they hope to have it running within the next 3 or 4 years. And I couldn't believe my eyes what is involved or connected with this G5. We know we're already on G4, but this is a huge changeover, this one. And to start off with, they showed you the phones that they're going to use for this G5. They're all transparent. They're like glass. So where's all the circuitry gone? You can't see it. You can see your hand through the phone. They're going to have very, very high frequencies. And these phones are actually AI, artificial intelligence. They're going to be able to take all forms of measurements from you. The phone will know your temperature each day. It will take impulses. It will know your blood pressure, your heart. It will know a great deal about you medically. It will see your face, facial recognition. Now, there are a lot of these technologies we know that are already in progress. But this is what these phones will do. They will read your face, facial recognitions. It will use all data about you. Your face will unlock the phone. It will also read your eyes. It will read your facial muscles. It will know what sort of mood you are in, or whether you are battling depression, or you're happy, or whatever. These phones will get to know you so well. G5 phones are designed to take information about you. It's learning about you all the time, watching. It will know what you want to do before you even do it. It will pick up your daily routines. It will be run from very powerful mobile devices. It will connect you all around the world at rapid speeds. These phones will wake you up in the morning. These phones, when you go into the kitchen, will automatically make your tea and coffee. Now, some of you may say, "Cool, that sounds pretty good to me. Bring it on." Well, it's got great side effects, I can tell you. It really, really has. It will switch the shower on and get the right temperature for you when you go into your bathroom. When you go out, it will tell you about the weather. It will tell you about the transport or what hazards you've got ahead of you for your journeys. It knows you are leaving and has already even started the car for you. This is what G5 is going to do, will be able to do. When you're at work and you have your phone, your boss can track you. He'll know wherever you are in the office. He'll know who you're with. He will be able to give live stream to you. He'll be able to communicate to you or hold conferences with you. He can hear and see. He knows who you're with. He'll be able to see who you're with. That's what these phones are going to do. The same as in your house. They will be able to see into your house, into your rooms. This 5G is a new world of technology, and they're going to work at fantastic speeds, bringing communication all around the world, bringing the whole world together in a matter of seconds. Well, brothers and sisters, some of you may say, "Well, that sounds pretty exciting to me," but it's got its defects. It's got its warnings. Because this could be, well, all the technologies we know being used towards the mark of the beast, the control. But we also know that it's going to cause tremendous radiation waves. And there could well be health problems. They're already aware of health problems that are coming, particularly with younger people. These phones affecting them. We know mental issues, depression, epidemic rates. These signals that are bouncing all around the world. These minds that are controlled. And I believe we'll see an increase in disease and sickness and probably cancer as a result of all of this. And sadly, the young people are absolutely held by these. And they regard it as the norm. And you try and take it from them. You try and warn them. And they look at you as though you're from another planet. Brothers and sisters, as I close with all of this, this is why the gospel is such a good news. It is our deliverance. This is why we're being brought out from. This is why God is separating us now from this world. We need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard with our phones that we have. Is your phone, your computer, controlling your life? You need to be very careful. It's not to say that we cannot use them. We're using this technology tonight. And praise God. But all of this comes with a warning. And we must be on our guard in all of this. And as I close with our teaching tonight, the gospel reveals faith. We see further what our faith is doing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That is what our faith should be doing. And that's why I mentioned tonight about what is being launched now, this G5. Our faith is giving us knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. You will not get any of that out of all that technology. So, in closing, our faith walk is a daily walk. It's a walk of daily needs. We're called to love one another. Now, the question that I leave with you tonight is faith being revealed to you? That is the question. And only you can answer that. Because the Word of God is a book that reveals truth. This book reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it is a revelation. It's an unfolding, an unveiling. And the question is tonight, we need to know before God, am I learning from the Word of God? Is it being revealed to me in order for me to live it, to obey it, to trust it? In other words, is the Word of God the anchoring of my life? Because faith comes by hearing, reading this word. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. The gospel reveals faith. So much more to this. I've just skimmed the surface tonight to what there is. But we even know that our faith is a gift given to us. He's given us the ability, the power in which to believe. And you know something? We cannot go wrong. If we keep our eyes simply upon Jesus, we cannot go wrong in this walk. We go wrong when we still want our Christianity and we try to manifest it in the flesh. That is when it goes wrong. But even God has provided for that, and it's called that cross, which you too take up daily.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord lightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.